Normally, when we talk about ecosystems, we're talking about forests or estuaries or some other place in nature. But expand your mind a bit and you can expand the concept of ecology. That expansion has already happened in Oregon's visual arts community. The disparate parts of that community, artists and galleries all over the state, are being drawn a bit closer together by something called the Oregon Visual Arts Ecology Project. At its heart is a website, but there's more to it than that. Our next guest can explain. She is Megan Atiyah, who is with the Oregon Arts Commission, where she is the Visual Arts Coordinator and in charge of the Visual Arts Ecology Project. Hi, Megan.
Good morning, Jeffrey.
Thanks for joining us. So what is it that the Oregon Visual Arts Ecology Project is set up to do?
You know, we're really, as you say, trying to tie together the state and extend the arts community that's already so rich in different pockets here and there. And we set about to do that in what I describe as a bit of a magazine and a bit of an archive. We've put a call out to our partners all around the state, visual arts institutions and art centers, and asked for them to share with us some documentation of exhibitions, catalogs, writing, other ephemera that we've then culled together in this gathering of Oregon art. So it's searchable, it's more importantly explorable, and we hope that it continues to grow and keep some of the important history of our state and the visual arts alive.
Is the idea being that no matter where you are in the state or where you're thinking about going, there's a central repository for information about visual arts?
Absolutely. Hopefully it's bringing visitors to organizations that they're just discovering through this site. It's maybe someone wants to go visit a painting that they see online that they notice is in the permanent collection of the Coos Art Museum, for example. So we're really bringing people to this one website, giving them an experience to kind of explore areas of interest or artists, and then find on-the-ground connections where they could view the work in person or experience an exhibition.
I can imagine there would be a few surprises there that, you know, you could, for example, like the work of a particular painter and discover, oh, wow, that person's paintings are on display at this gallery in Pendleton all the time.
Absolutely. Absolutely. We don't always take time out of our day to stop by the local museum or art center, and those local spaces don't always have the space to exhibit some of their holdings, but they're welcome to, on most occasions, show you a work by appointment. So it... Yeah, we're hoping that those moments of surprise exactly and happenstance occur first in the site that we've designed to purposely create those events of accident, and also in real life. So a great time to check right before a road trip and then maybe plot your map.
So how did you settle on the name Ecology Project?
Well, the visual arts ecology really stems from our relationship with the Ford Family Foundation. This is a joint project of the Oregon Arts Commission and the Ford Family Foundation of Roseburg. In 2010, they started a major five-year program to honor the late Hallie Ford. And that encompasses seven different program areas. So their aim was, at the very beginning, to understand how to support the arts in Oregon. And they gathered a kitchen cabinet of leaders from around Oregon and started to draw on a whiteboard and scraps of paper how artists are fed, how institutions thrive, and really started to see what looked like the same maps that we're, as you say, more used to seeing when we draw a forest. The artist relies on a gallery or dealer to show their work and to sell their work. They rely on museums and formal institutions to collect their work, on patrons to give eyes to their work, critics to respond to it. And there's really that's how we've expressed this broad allied professions as an ecology.
We are talking about the Oregon Visual Arts Ecology Project. Megan Atiyah is the Oregon Arts Commission's Visual Arts Coordinator. You can join us on the Jefferson Exchange at 800-838-3760 by phone, by email, jx@jeffnet.org. I noticed that you're talking about making the project never encyclopedic. You want to create an informal but never encyclopedic place where the work of the field may be celebrated and furthered. Is that a bad thing to be encyclopedic?
I think it was just beyond our capabilities. I think that as the Arts Commission, we don't have the same expertise or, frankly, time that some libraries do. There are great libraries and archives at Oregon Historical Society and at Willamette University, specifically focusing on arts holdings. And I think that we know that they're best positioned to do that well. We'd like to be a branch on the tree, but maybe not the stalk.
So I understand the Visual Arts Ecology Project was announced about 4 years ago. Since that time, you went and talked to a lot of people. Tell us about that journey.
Yeah, we started on the ground, recognizing that it was really this is in the end about artists and those who support their work. And so we figured we would start with a listening tour of the state. So I've held gatherings with artists and dealers and patrons in, I think we did 9 different meetings. We were in Ashland and Bend, Astoria, Newport, Portland, Umatilla Indian Reservation. Just gathering and talking about the current state of their professions and what the main needs are, what the opportunities are. Trying to get a sense of the particularities, the unique qualities of the different communities, but also what they need in common, so we could set about to, you know, amplify. I think that it's an interesting. There are ideas born on that tour that impact the work of the Arts Commission and the work of the Ford Family Foundation moving forward beyond this project.
Did you find some corners of the visual arts scene that you didn't know existed in Oregon?
Oh, yeah, I always meet people when I'm in a different town, which is why it's so important to travel and have gatherings like this. I'm always pleased to meet new artists.
I noticed that I was going to tell people that if they want to look for this is OregonVisualArts.org. It takes you to the Oregon Visual Arts Ecology Project, and it's changed just since I last looked at it on Friday. So is it just a natural refresher? Is it a monthly thing, weekly thing?
Definitely once a month we'll have new content that is on the homepage. You can explore the content whenever you like, but I'm trying to pull different assets to the front so people have that magazine experience and a different way in every month.
I understand on your listening tour around the state that the conversations you had with people revealed some common concerns within the visual arts community. What are some of the big ones?
Well, we always have the need for more patrons, more buyers, more collectors, which is certainly a general economic indicator or factor, and the need for affordable studio space wherever we go. Sometimes the need for safe studio space, but in a more existential way, there were many conversations that we had that surrounded ideas of community. And I think every artist has a different idea of what kind of community they need, what kind of artistic community I'm speaking about mainly, that they need in terms of their work and progressing their practice. Some artists feel like they need to move to one of the art centers in the state, Portland or Eugene, and be immersed with as many of their peers as possible, and that's what feeds their studio practice. And others feel like they're more comfortable, in rural Oregon, in smaller communities, and that best feeds their practice. And regardless of where I was around the state, there's still a need for feedback from dealers or from critics, for people to come see the work, for relationships with patrons. And so I think that the internet has really changed that, has freed artists to be able to live in more disparate communities and to be able to build that sense of community wherever they are. We need more arts writers is the practical implication of that. And so that's one of our main interests, and one of the main interests of the Ford Family Foundation is deepening and supporting writing about the arts in our state.
I noticed that, a lot of emphasis on arts writing. And so, I mean, where? Online, in addition to the usual places that people would find writing about arts?
I think yes and yes. I know that our print publications, our newspapers, are in difficult times in Oregon. And so obviously there have been staff cuts. It would be amazing to see an arts writer in every community paper. And I think that the artists who had that and lost it really felt the impact to their networks. Online offers all kinds of other opportunities, from blogs to calendars. We've commissioned, to launch this site, we've commissioned 12 new essays about art, which range from historical essays to artist features to talking about support structures to artists. And those have been managed much like they would for a print publication, with an editor, and each writer works very closely with an editor who helps guide their thinking, and then they are published onto our site.
Megan Atiyah, again, our guest on the Jefferson Exchange, the Visual Arts Coordinator for the Oregon Arts Commission and the head of the Visual Arts Ecology Project, which you can find online at visualarts.org. Do I understand there's also Facebook and Instagram components to this?
Yes, we're at Oregon Visual Arts and looking for new followers.
Okay, so what kinds of things can you, I mean, Instagram's pretty easy, but what sorts of posts on Facebook?
We'll be on Facebook at the Oregon Arts Commission site. So when we, for example, post a new essay, we'll talk about it on social media and give people a heads up there. I, in all of my travels and outings, will be posting pictures from exhibitions and just generally trying to get the word out about visual arts happenings.
So it sounds like you really have two purposes here. One is to let people within the visual arts community know about each other and be able to connect with each other, but also it sounds like to do some outreach here to get people who are interested in seeing visual arts to be able to know where to find it and who to talk to.
Yeah, absolutely, absolutely, to get to know a new arts organization.
So then, is there outreach beyond what's going on with the Visual Arts Project to people who might like to go to galleries or museums or have at least a mild interest in visual art but don't necessarily seek it out?
I hope that social media is helping that. And, you know, I know as a follower of the Oregon Arts Commission's Facebook page that I am always discovering events in areas that I might not necessarily seek out that look interesting. So I feel like those kind of conversations that are more accessible and just part of our daily routine now are changing the way that we think about art, that we think about creative expression. Art is no longer just inside a museum, certainly there, but it's really out in just about everything we do.
Who seems to be most excited about the dawning of the Oregon Visual Arts Ecology Project? People who run galleries, or people who make visual art, or people who go see visual art, or all the above?
So far, I'd say the makers, the artists, who are just so pleased to be able to have their work shared and receive feedback to their work. Hopefully, as more people learn about the site, we're so young, the public will be able to explore content and read essays and see exhibitions that they wouldn't otherwise be put in front of them. So,
I'm curious in particular about the discussion of affordable studio space, because trying to find rental housing in Portland is almost impossible, getting very hard in the Rogue Valley that we serve as well. Yeah. And I just, you know, if you're going to a big city like Eugene or Portland, the two you mentioned, as a place to go do your visual art, I can imagine trying to find studio spaces is hard, but just find a place to live is hard too, I would think.
Yes, there's more than just a studio problem at the moment, I think all throughout Oregon. And, you know, even in the smaller towns, even in towns where finding a place to live isn't as challenging as Portland or Bend, just finding spaces that are allowable for studio access or safe for studio access, you know, requiring fire life and safety issues and the right occupancy. There are some things that some of the municipalities could do to streamline artists' ability to move into and make use of space that's otherwise vacant. When we're talking about outside of Portland, it's hard to find vacant space in Portland nowadays.
You mentioned the funding from the Ford Family Foundation. I want to continue to point out that this is the Oregon-based timber family of Fords, not the Michigan-based car family of Fords. And how much money do they have in this project?
The Roseburg Fords, exactly.
Mm-hmm.
The original five-year, $5 million investment
mm-hmm.
was extended in 2014 and currently runs through 2019, when we hope they will decide to continue it again.
Wow. So how exciting is this to people in the visual arts community to have the Oregon Visual Arts Ecology Project go live?
Oh, I think it's a great spark. And just to be able to bring people together, we had, maybe 100 people out for a conversation and the presentation of some essays at Portland State last week. And just the spark that I'm seeing from that is amazing.
All right. Lots going on in the visual arts world in the state of Oregon. You can go to the Oregon Visual Arts Ecology Project at OregonVisualArts.org. Megan Atiyah is the Visual Arts Coordinator for the Oregon Arts Commission in charge of the Visual Arts Ecology Project. Megan, thanks for joining us today on the Jefferson Exchange.
Thanks for having me.
All right.